Thing now. There we go. Sorry. Sorry for that little pause. That was just so that I can drink some water. All right. We all know that God is with us, don't we? You know that God is with you. And you also know that he didn't say he would fix everything for you. He said that he would be with you as you go through everything. And that has a lot of implications to us. It's a very comforting thing to know that God is with us in all times. He is with us in those bad times and those difficult times that we go through. He is with us in the good times as well. You know this. He is with us when things are going well in our lives and we're happy. But he is also with us when we're doing the wrong thing, when we're doing bad things, when we, should we say that word, when we're sinning. God is with us. And so it brings on something of a responsibility to us here. Now, I have a little example of God being with us here. So as I drive around, and you know, I drive a long way to work, I've kind of over the years come into this habit of blessing schools as I go by one. And I started this, you know, selfishly because, of course, my kids were in school. And so I go by the school and I bless it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's just kind of become a habit. And so as I go by a school, I always try and bless it. On my way to work, I go by 6 schools. So I get to bless a lot of them on the way. And it just kind of started as a habit. And so anytime I, you know, notice a school I'm going by, I bless it. It's not like our schools don't need blessing, right? Yeah, they need blessing. And I want to bless all the kids, all the teachers. I want them to be safe because that's not even a possibility in school now. And I want them to come to know the Lord. And so I bless schools. I also bless, you know, ambulances, emergency vehicles when they go by too. And the thing that I know when that happens is that when I bless a school or an emergency vehicle, I know that they're blessed. I know. It's not like, well, I hope it happens. No, I know that they're blessed. Do you know why I know that they're blessed? Because God is with me. Because of Emmanuel. Because God is with us. That's why. Now, there's this thing we call priestly authority. You know, as a priest, I've been given some authority to bless things. And of the apostles' blessing, you know. Matthew 16:19 says, you know, or 18 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And this is blessing, okay? You can bless things, and it's bound in heaven, okay? And so we have this authority at the end of the service. You know, the priest, the celebrant, will bless you with the apostolic blessing, which means it carries weight, okay? Because God is with him. But he's also with each of us as well, too, okay? We all carry that. We are all priests, aren't we, in the household of God? It's just that we've called to this other level, you see. That's the only thing. But we all have authority as Christians to bless things. And that's good. And you can go around the county and the city and wherever you are and bless things as well too. And know, not just hope, but know that something has changed in that place where you are praying. Okay? Just as I know that something, and I may never know what it is, changes when I bless a school. Okay? And if they have a peaceful day that day, well then that's it. So that's a good thing. All of this because God is with you. That's it. But you have to be careful because sometimes we don't always act as if God is with us, right? And we have to be careful not to curse things, okay? This is why we don't say that GD word. You know what I'm saying? Because when you do that, God is with you. And that may not be something that you want to add to it. You see, that's the problem is with God. There are always two sides to this relationship, okay? We're called to be holy people, but we live in an unholy place. And we are imperfect, and we don't always act as if God is with us. And that brings this tension about, okay? It leads to problems like this, what I'm talking about, where you have to be careful what you do, because he is here with us, always. Remember, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with you, as I said, in those good times and in those bad times. Another way put, which you've heard before, is that we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And so therefore we are called to a higher place, to a higher level of existence, to a higher responsibility. Because you don't do anything apart from God. And again, that's very comforting. And sometimes maybe you don't want him there. And yet he is. And yet he is. And so all the more reason that we have to keep that relationship with him fresh. All the more reason that we have to remove any of the obstacles that stand between him and us. All the more reason that we have to set things right from time to time. We have to confess our sins. And here we are back in Advent, the fourth season, or the fourth Sunday. And I'm talking to you again about confession and repentance. I threw that on you, didn't I? Ha! You didn't know that was coming. Ha! We're still in the penitential season. And because he is with you, you have to make a clean start, a clean slate. You have to start over. You remember at the first Sunday of Advent, I encouraged you to spend some time, you know, examining your life. Looking into things, seeing where something might be amiss. Did you? It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer. But you know what? There's still time if you didn't do it. You see, this season, this going on out here, it's not really about frantically going around getting gifts for all those people on your list. It's a time to prepare yourself for his coming. It's a time to make sure that you are a gift for him. I think it was 2 years ago that I preached at Christmas about us being the gift to the world. Jesus was a gift to us. He brought us into him. Therefore, we are the gift to the world. I took that to Africa with me as well. And you know, you're not only a gift to the world, but you're a gift to God. You can give yourself back to him, see? Let me ask you this. You know, because this, you could think on this a lot, pray on it a lot, you should. How do you entertain a holy God? I'm not talking about, you know, doing a little dancing thing, okay? But how do you welcome a holy God into your life, into your very being? Because not everything in there is clean, is it? You see, Jesus gave us the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas, himself. And so I ask you, what kind of gift can we give him? What can we give him this year? You know, God asked Jesus, you know, son, what do you want for your birthday? Or what do you want for your birthday? Yeah, which is a birthday, of course. What do you want for Christmas? Jesus said, well, not much. I just want every person who has ever lived, ever lives now, or ever will live. That's what he wants for Christmas. You. That's what he's always wanted. Forever. And so to answer that question, the way to welcome God in, the way to entertain a holy God, is to be holy yourself. That's not easy. But it's possible through Jesus. Because he came to take away our sins, to rid us from the sin and the wrongdoing and all of that stuff, to cleanse us from our sins, take them away, and save us. And we have to use that opportunity frequently to confess our sins, to repent, to turn around, to tell God, I'm sorry I did that, because I know it hurt you. It was funny that the wrong collect was up today. I'm glad you got the right one. because I have it here. I don't know if you caught that. Yeah, it would have been bad, wouldn't it? No. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, listen to this, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. That's, you're expecting a mansion when you get to heaven, remember? Well, you're the mansion for him right now. You're the gift of Christmas. You're the gift to God. You are the gift. And it's also funny that Father Bill, right before the service, said that he received, was it an email from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association with their Advent devotional for Advent, right? Which, you know, it was surprising because Billy Graham Evangelistic Association doesn't really go by Advent or the, you know, the church calendar, and yet they did that. And so it's amazing that the quote I have on here is from For Advent from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which I found yesterday. And maybe, you know, we can think paranoid-like and think that because I went there, it found some kind of connection and it sent you that. But I'm not paranoid. You know, they may really be after us. Billy Graham said this. He said, "It is in the darkest hour that Christ often comes. He brings the joy, the thrill, the peace, and the glory such as you have never known when you and your loved ones give your lives to him." Give your lives to him. And then, if not enough, because you see, I didn't really want to preach about, you know, repentance and, you know, confession and all that, but it certainly was reinforced. You heard that from Billy Graham. You heard the collect. You heard the scriptures today. The psalm today, verse 3, I don't know if you caught this, it said, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" Remember what I said about entertaining a holy God? He's asking it too. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Well, how do you get those clean hands and pure heart? You got to get rid of the sin. You got to confess your sins. You got to repent. That's why. Why? Because he is with you. It's a responsibility as much as it is a blessing. Give him your life now. Give him your life all over again now. Give yourself to him as a gift for Christmas. But make sure that that gift is clean and spotless first. Something you can't do. Because he is with you. So, I actually want us to spend a couple of minutes right now in quiet contemplation. Not contemplation, but prayer. And thinking to yourself. We're going to put something up on the screen that's going to help you as you do this. I guess you can go ahead and put it up, Daniel. Oh. There's a quiet day coming up. You have the Feast of the Incarnation coming up. We need to prepare for those things. We need to confess our sins. You had a general confession here already, and there's nothing that is not valid in that at all. But I want you to search your hearts and minds a few minutes in lieu of these things. You know, pride, sloth is being lazy, okay, gluttony is overindulging in things, lust, you know, greed, you know, envy and wrath is anger out of proportion. But I want you to think about these things. I want you to examine yourself for a few minutes here. This is not commentary time. This is quiet time. And you can keep doing this if this time is not long enough for you. But do it before his birthday. Get ready for it, okay? So take a couple minutes if you would. Once again, Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Remember that he is Emmanuel, God with us. It is a blessing, and it is a responsibility. And now you can go forward and remember the next slide. You can go forward, keep calm, and carry on. Amen. Mm-hmm.